Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come.
we've never failed me yet, and I never will forget. You've never failed me yet, and I never will forget.
Yes, Lord. Praise your name this morning. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. Great is your faithfulness. You are mighty. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the creator. You are the only true Savior, the deliverer, the healer. Lord God, we worship you. We worship the mighty name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus this morning. We exalt you, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, and you're alive forevermore. Lord, we worship you. We exalt you. We thank you for your word, for your truth, for your Holy Spirit you have given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that the truth sets us free. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that the blood of Jesus washes sins away. And we just thank you, Lord, for that most of all. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church. Those of you here this morning, good to have folks from Florida, Arkansas, and Georgia, and even a few here from Opelika, Alabama. That's always good. Good to have everybody this morning. We want to, we've had a long, crazy weekend, but it was great. We went to Mobile, Fairhope. We're all over the place. Spanish Fort, we just all around the bay. Dolphin Island, one group went to Dolphin Island. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. I want to share some stuff with you, but I want to get into some scriptures. But I've just entitled this today. This is part five in the series on biblical cosmology, biblical creation. I just entitled this one, The Globe Killers. There's two things killing it right there. Number one, of course, the Bible. If you believe it, you cannot believe what the world has told you, right? Number two is these high zoom cameras like the Nikon P900, now the P1000. And we had like three of those out there, and plus attempted a laser test. We'll talk about that in a minute. Although it was seen, we didn't get to record it. We got a little bit more to learn about that, but got some interesting stuff to show you. Let me ask you, is this working now? All right. So anyway, I really planned on something else, but since we went to Mobile this weekend and did, I think this is like our fifth time to do Earth curvature test across Mobile Bay and from Fairhope to Mobile to test and prove things. I just want to say we had a great time. We had, goodness, we had the Coronas with us. We had Kelsey. We had Jordan and Amanda. We had our Hart family from all the way from Arkansas. We had some other Brother Ron showed up from, where's he from? Like Pensacola, I think. And then, of course, Mike Jarman, who lives down in the Mobile area. And there were others that were going to show up, and I guess just some got sick and, you know, this crazy stuff going around. But we had a great time. We all met up Friday night and attempted a laser test in the freezing cold, and they did see it from 11 miles. I guess we figured that spot was 11 miles across the bay. And, of course, the laser was only about 7.5 feet off the water. So, again, that should be impossible to even see that light, period. But they did see it. Next time, though, we'll record it. But we did get some great footage yesterday. We were in Fairhope, which is on the east side of Mobile Bay down south. And we were shooting straight across to different points over there, and I found something I was looking for over there, and this is actually today, I think, what I'm going to share with you, one of the pictures and video that I got of something across the bay. There's no possible way you should see these setting on the dock, okay, from about 11 miles, and you're talking about it should be, you know, 60 feet at least, minimum, depending on the height of the camera. But also, the Harts went down on Friday. They went down on Friday to Dolphin Island, and I didn't have time this morning. Listen, I almost didn't make it to church myself. So just trying to get ready, getting back from Mobile and then trying to get ready. But the Hearts got a great shot from Dauphin Island. They shot an area in the shipyards around Mobile, some buildings from 21 miles. I'll show you those in a minute, but you shouldn't be able to see any of the building, any of the stacks or anything like that. So we definitely got more proof, and we got some great, great shots. But I want to go through just a few scriptures first this morning before we do this, because why are we doing this? Well, of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I just want to read a few verses here from chapter 5. This is verses 16, and I'm going to read through verse 28. This is almost like the Proverbs of the New Testament right here, just a little list of good things to know, right? He says, first of all, rejoice evermore. So that means in good times and bad, right? Then he says, pray without ceasing. That means you need a good prayer life, amen? In everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. That means don't put out the spirit's fire like Nathan Roberts wants to do. The Holy Ghost fireman there, right? And despise not prophesying. That means don't set them at naught or make them to be nothing. The gift of prophecy. This is talking about don't quench the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly prophecy. He goes on to say, verse 21, I highlighted that, prove all things or test all things and hold fast to that which is good. So God doesn't mind us testing and proving things. Amen. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't just abstain from evil, but all appearance of evil, right? Boy, that's a good proverb. That's good wisdom. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about being holy until the second coming of Jesus, being faithful. That's a good proverb, amen. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. And then he asks, brethren, pray for us. We don't do this around here because we live in Alabama. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord, and it's, you know, some things you just got to leave off depending on the times and culture you live in. We don't do this. I know the French do, but that's a different story. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. But I wanted you to just focus in on that. Prove all things, test all things, and hold fast to that which is good, right? So we found out we can go out and test these things. Now, I want to show you something. And this is something I want to share with you, and this is for Christians today. I want to encourage you about something. You just need to accept the fact. You guys, you need to listen to me. No matter how much proof you give some people, no matter how much scripture, no matter how much evidence, no matter how much research, no matter how much truth you present to them, they're not going to accept it. All right, because they're just blinded. They're just brainwashed, blinded, satanically blinded. And I'm talking about Christians. There's a lot of blind Christians, okay? And they don't want to see. They put their fingers in their ears. They close their eyes and they go, la, 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 la. They don't want to know. They don't want to know the truth about sin. They don't want to know the truth about repentance. They don't want to know the truth about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to know the truth about heaven and hell. They don't want to know about who's going to hell. They don't want to know about backsliders going to hell. They don't want to know any of that, right? Just tell me I'm once saved, always saved, no matter how I live, right? Because I want to live in sin and still go to heaven. That's not going to work. And then, of course, now we found out they certainly don't want to hear the truth about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and healing and visions and dreams. And they don't want to hear that either. And now we've discovered they don't want to hear the truth about creation either. That's just terrible, right? We don't want to hear that. Don't tell us that the earth is flat and covered by a dome and heaven's up and hell's down. Don't tell me what the Bible says. Don't tell me what the firmament is. We covered that last week pretty thoroughly, didn't we? What the firmament is. This is part 5, too. I mean, think about it. I got a long way to go. This may end up being like 15 long series here. I'm not quite sure how long, but I'm having fun. You know why? Because the truth sets people free. You know, I was talking to Kevin Hart, and what's cool, yesterday, listen, we had a, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six. Was it just six of our ministry school students there yesterday? That is just seven. Who did I miss? She's not a student anymore. That's why I didn't count Kelsey, because she's not a student anymore. This was awesome, because I'm telling you, we had a good time and we're having a good time, but we're learning the Bible. You guys are learning the Bible, aren't you? But you know, Kevin was telling me yesterday that, you know, and I'm going to have him share this testimony at Skyfall, and I'm just going to give a little bit, but I was just encouraged. We were sitting there on the dock after we'd been there most of the day. It was right before we left, and he was just talking about how this truth of biblical cosmology and creation got him out of being a lukewarm Christian. And, you know, he would have said he was a Christian and believed the Bible, but he wasn't really taking it seriously. And you know, now he's on fire. He witnesses to everybody he sees. He's preaching. He's standing for the truth. He's praying. He's in the ministry school. He's working full-time and doing ministry school. And probably one of the best students right now in grades. And I'm just like, wow, this is, and listen, like I heard from our friend in, where's Paint Tank? Is he in North Carolina? He's in North Carolina or South Carolina. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on that, but he testified how he was just a worldly, lukewarm Christian, that the world, the entertainment, the music, the lust, just all that stuff was his idol. Until he found out the truth. And it's like this truth shook him out of his lukewarmness and his sin and brought him to repentance. So, like I've said before, this truth, listen, biblical truth is good. Truth sets you free. But it seems that this biblical truth about creation is setting a lot of people free. Lukewarm Christians, atheist agnostics. I got more testimonies. I couldn't even read them that I got them just in the past week. But I want to show you something. This is in John 20, 24 through 31 here. This is Thomas. It's after Jesus rose from the dead. And Thomas doubting here, but let's read it. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Boy, doesn't that sound like some Christians? I'm not going to believe the Bible. All right? I'm not going to believe, not even, though Jesus told them, you know, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise from the dead on the third day. Thomas is like, oh, I got to see. And you know what? There's just folks like that. But it says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with him. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So there are people who want to see evidence. Now, I said a minute ago, some people, doesn't matter how much evidence, doesn't matter how much scripture, but that's not everybody. Some people just need a little evidence. Some people just need a little something, a little truth, a little evidence to get them over a stumbling block in their life. And I guess that's what Thomas needed there. And you know what? Jesus gave it to him. Now, when we come to this, this is what's interesting. And this, I believe, this scripture ought to make us, you know, kind of scared here. But this is Acts 13:41. He's preaching, Paul's preaching to a bunch of people, and then he finally says, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work in which ye shall nowise believe, though a man declare it unto you." And he said, "I'm going to work a work in your days." Right? Now, I'm going to show you something. This psalm, the Lord had me go to Wednesday night, our Wednesday night prayer time. He spoke this psalm to me, and I think it's very pertinent to where we're going today. But this is a psalm here about God being angry with his people. Okay? His people. And then the psalmist begins to cry out. He talks about this anger, and he talks about, though, that God is merciful. But let's just start reading at verse 4. You can read it all later, but I want to read it. Verse 4, it says, "Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" Now, this is one of the what they call the revival psalms, because he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Let me tell you, when the church gets lukewarm, backslidden, the people of God drift from him and get hard-hearted, lukewarm, sinful, get into idolatry, get into worldliness. That's when you know, and Charles Wesley used to say this. He goes, just the fact that there needs to be a revival proves that the church has declined from where it needed to be. Now, if that's ever been the case, it's definitely the case in America, right? And certainly from my friends in Europe and other places, I've heard that it's even worse, right? But what we've been praying for years. I remember when we started this church, in our Wednesday night prayer meetings, what were we praying for? Revival in the church. Not just a local revival, but we were praying that God would move, right? And that's the prayer of the psalmist. He says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" See, another sign of revival is when you're on fire for God and you're joyful about it. Amen? And we had a good time yesterday and the day before. Now look here. He says, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." We'll keep going. And then he says this, "I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to their folly," to foolishness, all right? So don't go back to foolishness. Don't believe foolishness. Don't follow foolishness. Don't turn back to it. He says, "Surely his salvation is nigh or near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land," all right? Now, these next few verses, very important. Mercy and truth are met together. Do you hear that? "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Verse 11 is a prophecy of something that will happen in the future, because he said truth will. "Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven." Wait a minute. Where's heaven on a spinning, orbiting water ball flying through the endless vacuum of a make-believe space? Where's heaven? Bible says it's straight up. It's just up. And then he will look down. But notice he says here, "Truth will spring out of the earth." Wait a minute now. Why does truth have to spring up? If you look up the word spring, it means to break forth like something hidden in the ground, like a plant that finally breaks through. The seed finally buds and it breaks through. See, I believe that this is prophetic about the truth of creation here. Because you know what? We're taking these cameras and we're taking the math that they gave us and we're proving they're liars. Truth is sprung out of the earth, the truth about the earth. You hear what I'm saying? That's why there's a revival happening. Because truth sets you free. And remember, Satan, people say, why do they lie? Why the lie? Why the deception? All lies and deception to lead you away from the truth, to lead you away from Jesus, to lead you away from the Word of God, to make you doubt it, not believe it, not obey it, not follow it. That's why he lies. It's not complicated, Christian. He wants you to believe his lies because that gets you not believing his truth. And once you start down that road, that's a bad road. See, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Lord right now, this truth that's springing out of the earth, the flat earth truth that's springing out of the earth, about the earth, that you can test and prove, and prove that the Bible was right all along? I believe. I believe that this right here is really one of those things, is one, not all, but one of the dividing lines right now. It's one of the good dividing lines. It's making people decide what they believe about the Bible. Is it the inspired, infallible Word of God? I saw there was an argument going on Facebook the other day. It wasn't even my argument, but somebody tagged me in it, so I looked at the argument. I'll do that every now and then. If I have time, I might comment. But this one lady, Christian now, these are Christians arguing. And one lady said, well, you're just not supposed to take certain things in the Bible literally. So I just asked real. I said, well, are we supposed to take Genesis 1 literally? After that, she never said anything else. You see what I'm saying? Genesis 1 literal or not? And I'm telling you, this has become a dividing, just like the subject of homosexuality starting to divide. We know what the Bible says. Homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination. God detests it. He hates it. You cannot practice that sin and go to heaven. All right? But we got a bunch of churches now. That's okay. God understands. He's fine with it. Well, guess what? You just departed from this book. You just departed from truth. And we're starting to find out who's who, aren't we? Uh-huh. All right, amen or oh me, as I say. For a lot of them, it's going to be oh me. So, Saturday, Friday, we went. I'm not even going to get into Friday. Friday was cold, windy, and miserable. Saturday was sunny and warm and wonderful. All right. As you can tell by my red face. But this is where we were, just so you guys can see here. We were right, in fact, we were right here at this pier in North Beach Park in Fairhope, Alabama. I'll back up and I'll show you what that is in a minute. But we were literally sitting on the end of this pier, and we were out here, and we actually walked to the end of this pier. So, and of course, we've done tests all over this beach, shooting across the bay. There's Mobile Bay, so this gives you an idea. We're down here in Fairhope at this little beach here. So we were taking shots straight across to here, which I'm going to show you in a minute. This is a shipyard that has big spools of cable. I'll show you in a second. And then, of course, Jordan was shooting. He shot some red roof buildings over here. We found out was the University of South Alabama Research Center. Shouldn't be able to see any of this. And, of course, all the way up there, and I think I may have even put these in. Yeah, there you go. So we were shooting straight across there, east to west, and then we were shooting there, and then up there to the USS Alabama, the battleship, and I-10, and Highway 98. And I'm going to say this. I got some really good footage. I actually think I see a bridge with cars going over it 17 miles away beyond here. But I'm going to have to look at that. But I'm pretty sure I'm seeing that bridge. But anyway, we did these tests, and this is the one I want to show you, all right? This is Google Earth. This is right, let me back up again. What I'm showing you now is here, we're in Fairhope, and right straight across from us, due west, is this shipyard with these spools, all right? And so that's a Google Earth shot right there. It shows you the spools. You see the spools sitting on the dock? Let me just tell you, the dock, according to Google Earth, the dock is 10 feet off the water. But here is a picture I shot from 11 miles away. Guess what that is? Spools. The blue spools sitting on the dock. Can you see that? I'm going to show you a video in a second here. Let's see. Just to show you, and at this time, I had the camera at about 7 feet off the water. At 11 miles, it's 40 feet. That should be blocking your view if the earth is curved like a ball, right? That they tell us. If it's 24,901 miles, then it's 8 inches per mile squared. Now, let me just tell you something that my buddy in Texas told me. He used to draw ships for the Navy. So he knows AutoCAD pretty good, right? So he did AutoCAD, and he showed me something. He said, you know, Pastor Dean, at the latitude where you are at Mobile, He said, if you go east to west, he said, the only place east to west on the ball that's 8 inches per mile squared is at the equator, if it's a ball, right? He said, but as you move up the ball, just remember, a ball goes like this, right? So as you move up the ball, the circle is smaller. So it's really, where we're looking, 9 1/4 inches per mile squared, not the normal 8 inches per mile squared. That's kind of a general equation you use to calculate the amount of curvature or bulge that should be blocking your view. So actually, you should add about 10 to 15 feet to this 40-foot number, but we won't go there because we know that most people can't even handle the 8 inches per mile squared formula. So we know we don't want to, you know, their heads explode when we explain to them that it gets smaller as you move up the ball 9 1/4 inches. That would just do them in, you know, 1 1/4 inches. But over distance and the fact that that has to be squared means it's dramatic differences, all right? So anyway, so anywhere between, we'll just say 40 and 55 feet of Earth curve should be blocking our view, meaning we really shouldn't see a five-story building that's across there. You understand that? A story is about 10 feet of a building. That's on average. So a five-story building we shouldn't see, right? Yet I'm taking pictures of these spools. Here's more Google Earth. I noticed, see, I dropped a pin on the dock here. You see the spools, the blue spools sitting there, 10 1/2 feet. And then, of course, I did a little research. The biggest spool I could find from this company was 196 inches, basically about 16 feet in diameter, 16 feet tall. I did find some that were bigger than that, only up to about 32 feet is the maximum size, okay, that I found. And you can tell that that's like 16 foot right there. And then you can see some of these get pretty big. You see where these are guys standing here. So that one's probably about 12 feet. There's the bigger one. That's definitely around 16 feet. And if you notice, that's a shipyard. Those are cranes. These are cables for the cranes that they use. Okay. And you guys, the Hart, saw these yesterday. They drove over there before. They came over to the beach before I was showing them. I took pictures of this. They saw them over there. And then Jordan and them went over there to try to take pictures up close of them, but they wouldn't let them in the shipyard. So I guess they're secret steel cables. I don't know. Top secret crane cables we can't look at up close. But here's a video of what I took now. Now, you notice they're smaller spools and a big spool. You see that? So if we consider that the small ones are probably anywhere from 16 feet, maybe 24 feet, the big one, 32 feet. I'm zooming out to show you there where we were. There's where we were on Fairhope. These cameras are amazing. This is my Nikon P900. I'm zooming in to show you that I'm seeing the spools on the dock, sitting on the dock of the bay, proving the globe is a big lie. Anyway, y'all see the spools, right? Now, let's just assume the big spool is 32 feet, and it's sitting on the dock that is 10 feet. That's 42 feet. There's no way we should see this spool. You understand that? Do you understand this is proof that the Earth is not a ball 24,900 miles in circumference like we have been told, like we have been brainwashed since we were children? And the reason that they told us that, and the reason they brainwashed us, and the reason the Freemasons and the Nazis and the occultists made up this lie was to turn you away from believing the Bible, believing the God of the Bible, and finding the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and trusting that every word in this book is true. That's why they lie. That's why the deception. And that's why, you know, if you go to the book of Revelation, it said the devil would deceive the whole world. Let me tell you, if you had Satan's power and his invisibility and the accomplices that he has in high places, if you have all that and you have unlimited money, billions and billions and billions of dollars, I think NASA's budget's 50-something million a day, 52 million a day. Do you know what kind of lie I could make if I had people helping me all over the world and I had $52 million a day and I was invisible? I could deceive the whole world. Oh, wait, there is a guy like that. His name's Satan, the devil. He has demons, fallen angels, and people who work with him. And they're called Freemasons, Nazis. NASA completely, I'm going to do this one here pretty soon. I wrote about it in my book, but NASA completely founded by Nazis. Operation Paperclip. If you've never heard that before, look it up. Operation Paperclip. That's all you need to know. Even Copernicus was a clear occult hermeticist. He got his belief that the earth and the so-called planets, the wandering stars, he got the whole idea of it revolving around the sun from an occult book on hermeticism. It's a religious belief. Years of an occult religion. And Christians believe it, though. How do they believe it? I saw it on TV. It must be true. No. Let's keep going. I'm going to show you. It gets better. All right, here's another short video. This is just let you see it. Multiple videos, different times of day, in fact, because we were there from about 9:30 in the morning until about 3:30. And this is me scanning down the coastline here with the camera, and it's not easy when you're zoomed in, you know, that much. But as you can see, I'm just spools. The blue spools. You say, why do you lose a little of the bottom? Because whenever there's always a limit. Y'all see the blue spools there? There's always a limit, no matter if you're using a telescope, a camera, your own vision. There's always a vanishing point. There's always a point where you begin to lose the bottom. It has nothing to do with the curve. Okay? But folks, this right here, again, 11 miles away, and we're seeing almost the entire spool. And we're also seeing the little spools that I know are only about 16 feet tall. Now, this is proof, positive. There should be 40 to 60 feet. And really at 10 miles, if you don't calculate the height of the camera, at 10 miles, there should be 66.6 feet. Of earth curvature. And then that funny. But you see, proof. You've been lied to. Listen to me, Christians, you've been lied to. Your Bible about creation and everything else is literally true. Genesis is literally true. God drawing a circle upon the face of the deep. God making a boundary for the waters. God saying the earth is still and at rest, immovable, fixed. God saying he covered it with a firmament that is solid, crystalline, molten glass. That the stars are set in that and move in their courses. That the sun is a strong man running the race and running a circuit, not the earth. The sun and the moon and the stars are what's moving over us. This is what your Bible says. Will you believe it? And will you believe it? Listen, wait till I get on the sun, moon, and stars. Just wait. We're about to have fun. You say, why? This is what I love. Christians say, this is not important. Why do all the time the Lord say, I am the one who created the heavens and the earth? All through the Bible, he says that about himself. He said, I am the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. There is none like me. It must be important to him. Because you know what? I find it from Genesis to Revelation, talking about creation. It's pretty serious. And see, people think I'm crazy for pushing this. Oh, you just need to preach the gospel. Let me tell you something. If you can't believe the words in this book are true, you can't be saved. Because the Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter, he says you're born again by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you won't believe the written testimony of this book, you cannot be born again. You cannot know Jesus. And you can't say, I believe this part, but I don't believe that part. You don't get to do that. Because really, you don't understand. When you say, well, I believe this part, but I don't believe this part, what you're doing is slapping God in the face. Because God said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That means Genesis. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You can give me an Episcopalian nod. That's good enough. I'll take an Episcopalian nod, right? All right? Or a Lutheran. A new, something. Let's look at another one. Here's another video yesterday. Now, this right here, this is the building. They see that building right there? That's the building and the stack that Kevin and Kayla Hart shot from 21 miles. Now, I'm shooting it across the bay, only at 10 miles, but they got it fully like that, almost completely. We did the earth curvature math on it from 21 miles from Dolphin Island, and there's just no, you shouldn't see any of it. Not the building, not the stack, you shouldn't see any of that. Now here's me, I'm just scanning down that coast. Look, I want you to notice, do you see me seeing houses? These are one-story structures. Did you see that? And I'm not just seeing the roof. And you got to remember sometimes these are layers of things, meaning like there's trees and then there's stuff. Of course, birds on little posts. Hold on, I'm going to pan down this way. And of course, these are the cranes that are loading the ships, and we're seeing those. Let's go down to see these single-story structures through here. Trying to control the camera. Coming on down. Look. Oh, there they are again. Oh, there's those spools sitting on the dock. Say, Pastor Dean, you already showed us this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let it sink in. 11 miles away. Shouldn't see it. Listen, folks, all water is flat. Think about it. The earth is 71% water, right? I've never seen curved water. That's why they call it sea level, not sea curve. Look, big spool, little spool, big spool, little spool. You know it's possible that some of those spools are only 12 feet high? You know that? Anywhere from 12 to 32 feet is what I discovered. So we should see them. And we're seeing almost all of them. And the only reason we're losing a little of the bottom is just because of the haze. But look, single-story structures there. Do you see that? You shouldn't see that building. This was just yesterday. You hear me? I'm gonna move on here. All right. Here's what I'm going to tell you. We're going to play. I want Jordan to play his video. He'll show you the red roof buildings. But get that ready. But I just want to say this. Look, I didn't plan on preaching a long time today because we've had a long weekend. But hear what I'm saying. You can prove what we're talking about. You can prove that the earth is not a ball. So, well, Pastor Dean, now NASA shows us all these pictures. Yeah, they do. It's interesting. I've gone through many of their pictures and videos. I love the one picture where they show it's supposed to be from the Epic satellite that's supposed to be a million miles away. And they allegedly show a 24-hour rotation of the Earth. And the clouds never move. Last time I checked, clouds are moving all the time. Especially in 24 hours, they're never the same, right? And then you got a picture from 1972 of the Earth, allegedly from NASA. And then you got one from 2002. And guess what? Same cloud formations, exactly. Right? Yeah, that's a picture, right? And then you've got one from, what was it? One from... I think it was like 2002 or whenever, and then you got one from like 2014. And they're allegedly the same size ball, and North America takes up nearly the whole top, the whole thing from one side to the other. I'm like, wow, North America got huge. And the other one, it's little. Their dimensions are off all the time. And then, of course, the guy, as we've said many times, the guy who made the 2002 blue marble, what did he say? Come on. What did he say?
Photoshopped.
It's photoshopped
because it has to be.
Because it has to be. Oh, they're so bad at what they do. But it's working still on many people, right? All right, so before we go out of here, I just love the way this video ends. But this is just a few minutes. I want you to watch. This is Jordan made a little video that kind of encapsulates yesterday a little bit. But I want to say this. I want to say thank you to everybody who went with us or who prayed for us, and those of you who support us and enable us to do this kind of stuff. Because traveling always costs money. But let me just say this: we had a great time. I believe this is absolute proof. We're going to get into, last week I went 2 hours. I thought I'd give y'all a little break this week. All right. But do you see the evidence? You know the Bible. And we went through this a few weeks ago. Just go back to the shape of the earth one. Right. I cover it pretty thoroughly. The Bible teaches we live on a circular flat. We don't know how deep it goes. The Russians only dug 8 miles, and they don't know anything beyond that. And guess what? They didn't hit any molten core. No one's been out of the dome. They've been up pretty high, but they hadn't been up there because God said he wasn't going to allow that. Right. So we know that the earth is flat. He said the breadth of the earth, and I've shared that with you, plateaus, all the root words that of that word breadth means spread out flat. God said it. And we view it. This is what we see. If we go out, goodness, we were driving. You get south of Montgomery, Alabama on Interstate 65. And Lord, it's flat for a long way. Right? And we don't even rank in the top 10 of the flattest states in the country. Florida's number one, by the way. Kansas, they say, the scientists say of Kansas is flatter than a pancake. This is what scientists say.
Kansas is
seventh. And, it's seventh. And it's flat as a pancake. Literally flat as a pancake. And at 400 miles, it's supposed to be something like, 27 miles of curve bulge high. If, Kansas is 400 miles across. So Kansas is flatter than a pancake. The Bolivian salt flats, 4,000 square miles of that only varies between 1 meter, 3 feet. These things, see, again, will you believe God's word? Will you believe evidence now that's presented? Here's what God did. God said, you know what? I'm going to let the Japanese, you only believe about, I think, what is it, Japan, 3% Christian? Maybe less? Half a percent Christian. I'm going to let the Japanese develop a camera that I can put in the hands of your average person that's going to allow them to find out what I said is true. And what this is Jesus stretching forth his hand to this generation who's been deceived by science and saying, look at the nail prints. Thrust your hand in my side. It's okay. Don't be faithless. Believe. Believe. I am the God. That's what he wants us to believe. I am the God that created the heavens and the earth. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible. Not the God of Islam. Not the God of Buddhism or Hinduism or Shintoism or Taoism or whatever ism. But the God of the Bible. Because he gave a lot of details. And we've been covering those details. Genesis to Revelation is true. You hear me? Go ahead.
What are you capturing right now?
I'm capturing blue spools of cable at a shipyard sitting on the ground on the dock, and I'm capturing the entire spools. And that is 11 miles away. And I've got pictures and video now.
Daniela,
in the photo.
What does your hat say?
It says make creation great again.
Make creation great again. What does that mean?
It means the earth is flat.
It means tell the truth about what the Bible says about the earth and the cosmos. That's what it means. Make creation great again. Get it free from the lies, man.
Did you get a video of yourselves doing it out of it too?
What are you capturing right now?
I'm capturing blue spools of cable at a shipyard sitting on the ground on the dock, and I'm capturing the entire spools, and that is 11 miles away. And I've got pictures and video now. There they are, right there. It's a little hazy now, but I got clear pictures.
Google Earth. Let's take a look at this. We started everything at Fairhope, North Beach, right here at this dock. Those spools of wire. They are, according to Google Earth, us away. The globe curvature calculator. See, camera. We'll say that the camera was 5 feet. 10.6 miles away. The target hidden height is 41.21 feet. Should have been hidden behind 41.2 feet of curve. The red roofed house from North Beach, Fairhope. See. It is 10.3 miles away. Should have been hidden behind 38.1 feet.
Yeah, I got the battleship.
Now, I want to, he's going to share this on the video here. Just let the video play. But I want to say that that battleship is 12.4 miles. But it's also, there's some land that the shot goes over. Because you're only seeing the water up close to us. So that's the only reason it's kind of blocked off is because there's a little bit of land. And then it actually sits below that again. But this is cool. Go ahead. Just letting you know. We got to go to the battleship. I want to see some stuff, but that highway back there is coming out of Battleship Park. That's the one I checked with the Alabama Department of Transportation. It's 25 feet high. Shouldn't see it at all. No.
North Beach Fair. Tells us that it's 62.25 should be hidden.
Whoa, what are we doing?
We're testing the curve, but it's not there.
Are we back? There we go. I just want to say praise God. We, and you know what's so amazing? Is there wasn't nothing but a bunch of smiles out there. We were having a good time. The truth brings joy. I just want to tell you, the truth brings joy. It brings peace. It brings freedom. You know, I'm one of the people think I'm mean sometimes because I'm a strong preacher. But I'm one of the happiest guys in America. You know why? Because I don't care if you come to church or not. I don't care if you give money or not. I don't care if you get mad and I don't care if you cuss me out. I don't care if you make videos, bad videos about me. I don't care. Because you know why? Because I'm joyful because I believe every word in this book. I don't even have to, it's not even blind faith. I have experienced it. I have tested it. I have proved. You know, I was sharing with, the other day, I was sharing with them at lunch. You know, when I cracked my skull open and all my cerebral spinal fluid came out of my, from around my brain, and the doctor said, you can die from this, that I could have died that day. And I remember, I mean, that happened on the day that my baby Bethany was being born in 1997. I was in the hospital, and I'll just tell you, I fell back playing with my four-year-old, Caitlin, and they were doing construction in the hospital, and I hit my head on a metal beam sticking out of the wall, and it forced my plates of my skull forward, and my skull cracked open right here. And when I leaned forward, the cerebral spinal fluid, so much of it flowed out of my nose that it filled up my hands and spilled over into my jeans. Now, most time when anybody's a paramedic will tell you, when that happens, most people are dead, okay? When you lose all the fluid around your brain, it's not good, all right? So they made me, I was a little woozy, but they made me sit down, and a doctor came in that was going to deliver my baby and said, you can die from this. You need to go have a CAT scan immediately. So I went down to the emergency room. This is in Montgomery at Baptist South back then. And I went down there, had a CAT scan. Well, more fluid came out when I was sitting in the waiting for the CAT scan. And then the CAT scan saw, you know, a huge fracture right here. But Bethany was about to be born, so they said, we're going to put you in a neck brace, wheel you up in a wheelchair. We're going to let you be there for your baby to be born. And so they, you know, I made it up there like within just minutes of her being born. So they scheduled me to have surgery, neurosurgeon, to have surgery as soon as possible. And it was going to be like they couldn't do it that day and they couldn't do it the next day. So it was going to be like Monday. So I went to the neurosurgeon on Monday. They made me just do nothing. Basically, they just watched me while I stayed in the hospital. When I went to the neurosurgeon, they did x-rays to get ready to do the surgery. And he came back in after he did the x-rays and he said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. He goes, I thought so. I said, what? He goes, it's gone. The fracture on the CAT scan is gone. We're not doing surgery. Now, why did I bring that up? I'm just saying, I've tested and I've proved my Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the creator, the healer, the savior. Every bit of it's true. He washed my sins away. He made me a new creature. He took away my addictions. I'm no longer a drunkard, a fornicator, or any of that stuff because of him. He's real. And he can save you, and he can heal you, and he can deliver you from demons. He is the same. That's what I'm saying. Why is it important to believe Genesis? Because you need to believe Mark 16, and you need to believe the Gospels, and you need to believe Hebrews 13:8. What does Hebrews 13:8 say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. People don't need to know about a Jesus who's just a historical figure. They need to know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who died for their sins, rose from the dead, and can wash their sins away. The only one that can wash their sins away, give them the hope of eternal life, and heal their bodies when they need healing, deliver them from Satan and demons and when we're attacked by them. You need to know that it's all true. It's all true. And if you'll believe it, and you'll call out to him, and you'll cry out to him, and you'll seek him, you will find him, you will be healed, you will be delivered, you will be saved, you will know. You won't just know about God, you will know God. And that's what I'm saying. I've tested this and proved this for now 32 years. Jesus is real. The Bible is true. There is a heaven and there is a hell. The creation is just the way he said he made it in the book. He will wash your sins away, deliver you from demons, heal your body, but you have to believe it and you have to seek him and you have to call out to him. That's why it's all important. All of it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You need every word and you need to believe it. Amen. So listen to me today. I know, look, thousands of people, thousands, I'm not joking, thousands have been watching this series. Now it's okay if you come away with the truth of creation, but you better come away knowing that you've called upon Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. That's the most important thing. That's why it says in the beginning, John, Gospel of John starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he created everything that there is. The Savior is God in the flesh. He's also the Creator. And the name, you want to know the name of God that's above all names? It's the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one they hate. He's the one they fight. He's the one they resist. He's the one that they use his name as the curse word. Because it's the name above every name, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods. Amen. All right. I went short today. Let's do that. So I want to do that song by Zach Williams before we go. Let's everybody stand. We're going to pray. Revival. What is it called? Is it called revival? See, I've seen too much. I've experienced too much. He's been too good to me to walk away from him now. Ain't nothing in this world that's better than knowing him. And nothing in this world better than knowing you're not alone. Everybody's worried about aliens. Oh, I want aliens to be true so I know we're not alone. You're not alone. You've just chosen not to be with him. Aliens didn't create us. Nope. The one true God of the Bible that you hate. It's true. Believe that. I'm going to pray and we'll do this on you. Got it ready? Okay, let's pray. Can you put the words up too? You got the words? All right. Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, today to bless your people. And especially, Lord, those out there that don't know you as Lord and Savior. They've never been born again, Lord. I pray today they will see that the truth, your word is true, and they can trust it, and they can believe it. They can rely on you to be true in your word from Genesis to Revelation. And in this word, Lord, not only is the truth of your creation there, but the truth of the way of salvation, that we must believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead the third day, that God became a man, took our sins on himself and became the sacrifice to pay the price, to pay the penalty of death for our sins and the death we deserve. And that, Lord, you made the way. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. And, Lord, you want everyone to know they just simply must confess Jesus as Lord. They must believe that you died and rose from the dead, and they must call out. And they must be willing to repent and leave evil and wickedness behind and become a disciple of yours. I pray that folks will do that, Lord, all over the world, all over this country, and that the lukewarm, backslidden Christians that have been living in sin will come out. They will be prodigals that come home. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your strength that found me at my weakest. Your grace poured out in my despair. When I feel lifeless, tired, burned out and defeated, your perfect love will find me there. You called my name and you made my fear, all I have.
You're my delight, sweet, my everything, and I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord, and I will worship.
Yeah. And it's just you and me here now.
Your heart was tired, feared the worst and felt the fire.
Lay it all down, lay it all down.
Filled with all those anxious thoughts, and your doubts became your God.
Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down,
lay it all down
at the feet of Jesus.
Down
at the feet of Jesus.
When we've given up on better days, there are memories we can't erase. Lay it all down. When we've come to fear what we can't explain, and there's nothing here that can ease the pain. Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. Lord, that we've had to worship you, to get in your word, to hear the testimonies, Lord, to hear and see what you are doing and what you're proving. Lord, I ask you to touch your people, all those who are watching and listening. Lord, let your presence and power touch them in a mighty way. And Lord, we just ask you to bless, especially, Lord, protect those that have to travel today. Put your angels around them. And we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be dismissed. Hug some necks before you leave.
Remind me, Lord, lest I forget who you are and who you have been. Almighty God, perfect in peace, my champion.